You can find my podcast and other podcasts similar to mine on the Christian Podcast Community at podcast.strivingforeternity.org.
The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Good morning, podcast world, and welcome back to yet another episode of The Ear. I'd like to thank you guys for joining me for the Lent series, but we're going to take the next couple of weeks to just do a few standalone episodes. And today we're going to be talking about maintaining a Christian faith in the workplace. And most of you know that I used to work for the sheriff's office, and I am actually blessed to have my good buddy, Captain Brendan Mathern. He is the public information officer and also in charge of some other stuff. But I will shut up for a few minutes and let him introduce himself. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, Brandon, thanks for having me. That's a great way of putting it. Public information officer and a bunch of other stuff. Basically, whatever the sheriff tells me to do. but yes, thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, most people probably know this about you. Some probably don't. But you are a confessing Christian. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, what drove you to, I guess, Christianity in a sense?
Well, like so many other people here, especially I was born in the South Lafourche community, and like so many other people, we have a heavy Catholic, based community here. And that's how I was raised and spent almost 30 years as part of the Catholic faith. And it was really, like everyone else, I went to Catholic school, and like everyone else, took religion classes and, just kind of learned along the way, the more about the Catholic religion itself and the doctrine and everything else. And of course, as a kid, it's a bit much to understand, but you learn to recite your prayers and things like that. And eventually, baptized when I was a baby in the Catholic Church, and eventually confirmed when I was a teenager. Not a lot of people realize this or know this about me that have come into my life recently, but I do have a previous marriage. I'm currently married to my wife, Jill. We've been married for 10 years. I have a daughter who's just turned 7, and Nora is her name, and then my son, Cooper, who is 4. And prior to meeting Jill, I was married for a brief time to another Catholic. It didn't work out from day one, and we eventually did get a divorce. And it was really through that process, the annulment process, which I didn't even start until a couple of years after my divorce was finalized. It was through that annulment process and trying to learn. I initially learned that I couldn't even go to communion, or I couldn't receive the Eucharist as part of the Catholic Church. And this was a shock to me because I had been Catholic all of my life, and I felt like I had never been in a situation where I couldn't partake in communion. So I really started a deep dive at that point in trying to learn more about the Catholic faith. Now, mind you, I'm nearly 30 years old at that point, and I'm for the first time really taking a deep dive into what it means to be Catholic. Up until that point, it had just been, just go to church, go through the motions. This is what you believe. And there had never been any questions about it. It's all I've ever known. It's all I've ever learned. Yeah. But when I met Jill, she was attending a non-denominational church, and we started going to both for a while. She like me was a former Catholic. She was a Catholic when she was a child, and eventually her parents turned to a non-denominational church after the death of her brother Scott, who died in a car crash at 15. So they found answers and solace there, and you know, again, we started going to both, and then as I'm looking through the annulment process and figuring out, you know, what it means to receive the Eucharist in the Catholic Church and trying to figure out who's eligible to receive the Eucharist, I started looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, man, like on a realistic, if all Catholics are being honest with themselves, in any given church parish, you're probably looking at 25 to 50% of them that probably should be going to communion. And so I found myself in a situation where I'm looking at the religion aspect of things and all of the rules to attend, you know, to go to church, to attend, to go to the Eucharist and partake. And I started asking myself why. And so I started a deeper dive into Christianity itself, not just in the Catholic realm. And that's when my eyes were really opened and I started recognizing that, you know, maybe the answer is that I don't believe all the things that I need to do in the Catholic Church. You know, when you're raised as a Catholic, Brandon, you know, and you can ask so many people this, they have this belief that, you know, you just have to go through these particular motions. It's not about the why, it's more about the physical doing. You know, they call them holy days of obligation, and it gives you this sense that you just have to go. Like it's you just have to go to church on these days. You have to go to reconciliation. You have to go to confession. You have to partake in the Eucharist. But we don't spend as much time in the why as much as the have to. Like this is what you have to do. At least not in my experience. At least not, you know, as an adult. And I think that was the biggest difference for me. Is learning the when I started looking at the why and I started looking at. You know, one of the terms that you hear thrown around is cafeteria Catholic, you know, and that's the idea that, well, I'm part of the Catholic religion, but I just pick and choose these things to follow. But if you're really honest with yourself, then you're not being a true Catholic, because being part of a religion means that you accept all of the teachings and all of the doctrine and all of the regulations. And I think if most Catholics were honest with themselves, they would look at everything they have to believe and everything they have to accept, and they would probably tend to take a step back. With all that being said, you know, I looked at it from my perspective, and I decided it was time for me to step away. And in joining a non-denominational church, and we now attend Cross Church in Houma for the last 2 years, it was eye-opening to, you know, what it meant to be saved, what it meant to have a relationship with Christ versus just going to church, which is what I was doing previously. Yeah. And I guess that's the best way to sum it up, is having that relationship and living every day as a Christian versus just planning to attend church on Sunday.
All right. So let me ask you this. How can you and I be a light for Christ within our work environment?
Well, I think, you know, along those lines, you know, and going from the Catholic faith, you know, if Catholicism is brought up in the workplace, it's basically just to mention, hey, we're going to church this weekend, and it's rarely done so. In fact, when I think about it, it's hard for me to tell you who's a Catholic in a work environment. Because they really don't talk about religion. And in fact, I've been working for the sheriff's office now for some time, but prior to this, prior to my professional career in public service, I worked in the radio and I had a talk show and it was a variety talk show where we talked about a lot of topics, but one of the topics we don't talk about is religion, or faith. And there's a reason for that. It's sort of that taboo thing. But that was also coming from a Catholic standpoint that, sure, you can talk about it with other Catholics, but I mean, we don't, you know, it's not that it's taboo. And I think that Catholics would be offended if we suggested that, but it's just not part of our discussion. Whereas now, when I meet someone or I talk with someone, inevitably We get to talking about church, and it's almost uncanny that you realize that you're on the same wavelength, you're on the same path,
yeah.
and that you talk about church, where you go to church, the things that you're doing, the outreach that you're doing through church. And that's just something that I didn't experience before, and I don't have those conversations. So to your question, how can we be a light? I think, for one, talking to people about it. And look, it's tough, right? I mean, especially in law enforcement, as you know, it's tough because as much as many of us are called to this service, called to public service, we believe it's a calling by God to serve in this position. It's not that for everyone. For mm-hmm. some people, this is a job,
right.
I'd like to believe that everyone was called to this, but
right.
we know that that's not the case. We know that some people, this is just, you know, it's something their parents did or it's something they've wanted to do, but it's not a real calling. And the difference, I think, is when you apply for any job or you go for any job, your level of commitment to that job is going to be based on your drive for your paycheck, right? So you're going to do what it takes to get your paycheck. My drive is completely different because
mm-hmm.
I believe, just like with tithing, which is another thing that I learned, through going through this process, whereas before I was just putting whatever change was in my pocket in the collection bin when I was attending Catholic Church. Now pardon the pun, but religiously tithing. And I'm making sure to put in my tithes every week because it's a different mindset completely. I know that my finances are going to be taken care of because of my faithfulness
mm-hmm.
to tithing.
Right.
And it's the same way here. I don't think about my paycheck because I'm, you know, one of my favorite scripture passages is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, where he says, whatever you do, do mm-hmm. your work heartily
yes.
as for the Lord rather than for men. The sheriff knows this. I don't work for him. I'm doing my work for the Lord. But we share that in common, which is why I love working for Sheriff Weber. We're doing this for a higher power. And look, what greater opportunity than public service where we are serving the public? As in law enforcement, every single day you should be able to find some way that you can help others. And so it is an absolute honor and a privilege to be able to work in this. With all that said, that's my viewpoint. That's not shared by every single one of the employees or the fellow law enforcement officers that we're surrounded by.
Yeah,
I think you need to be that shining light. You need to be that person that people turn to when they're having issues, that they can talk to, that they know you're not going to gossip. They know you're not part of the gossip chain per se, which every office has that. But that they can confide in you and they can talk with you, and that you're not, you know, look, as guys, even dating back to our junior high, high school, college days, we like to poke fun at each other. It's tough because that's the type of, you know, even as adults, you tend to get that when you get a bunch of guys together. But if you surround yourself with the right people, you can confide in other people that are not going to make fun of you. Even out of love, they're not going to poke fun at you for your misgivings or, where you're straying or things that you mess up on. They'll comfort you and they'll have compassion for you. And I think that's where you can, you know, be a shining light in your workplace. As you said, you can be that example. And one quick example that I have, Brandon, to give you is I worked in our Lockport office for about 10 years. And while I was there, there was one incident one day where a patrol sergeant was talking to a couple and they had had some marital issues and they were trying to get a restraining order on a third party. But they were trying to salvage their marriage. And the patrol sergeant was telling them everything from a legal standpoint of what they can do. But they were confiding in him that they felt they needed some spiritual guidance. And the next thing I know, I get a knock on my door and it's like, hey, Brennan, I know you attend church. I know that, you know, the type of person you are. I think we can really use your help with this couple. And that was a life-changing moment for me, because not only did I get the opportunity to, you know, talk to this couple, pray with them, and you know, potentially set them on the right path to saving their marriage, but a coworker recognized that I was the one to come in and maybe help with that situation. And that told me I must be doing something right. I must be setting the right example. You know, I've heard just a lot of anecdotal things from people. And look, there's that respect factor, and there's people that have worked here for 25, 30 years, and you respect them for their longevity. But that's a level of respect that I couldn't even begin to ask for. Yeah. And that means a lot more to me than any of the years of service or anything that I put into any particular job.
Yeah. So to touch upon a few things, the verse in which you were referring to is actually Colossians 3:23-24. Just so the listeners can know where to go to get that reference. You know, there was a time when I was on patrol, and we had, I'm not going to mention any names, but myself and the sergeant was on scene. And, you know, the way I view marriage now, yes, I am not married, but the way I view marriage is it's a bond between that man and that woman and God, and let no man tear asunder. Okay. So I respond to this domestic, and obviously the husband's, you know, drunk or whatever. So he's not in his right mind. They had a little altercation or whatnot. And here I am talking to the husband, trying to get him on the right track. Then I go talk to the wife or the girlfriend and get her on the right track. And then the sergeant comes in and says, you know, if y'all can't get along, y'all should just stop seeing each other. And I'm like, we're public servants. We're not marriage counselors. And we probably should not be telling people to just stop seeing each other just because we don't want to deal with them. Because if you feel like that, you shouldn't be in public service. You know, so that was a distaste for me working on patrol. But then let's say what, 2-3 years later, I'm working in Thibodaux and we had a murder that occurred, and I'm in one part of town, you know, I'm not going to say fixing, but God is using me to salvage one marriage when I have to leave to go deal with this victim that just got shot and killed. You know, so my night went from a good thing to a bad thing at the drop of a dime. But here we are, what, 6 years later total, and that couple still together? You know, so, yeah, I mean, look, I remember when I first really started hanging out with you and talking to you, Brendan, I found out you were, you know, Christian and that you left the Catholic Church, and then you and I would have conversation about, you know, certain moral things, certain, you know, church things or what have you. And, you know, look, I'm like, if I could find anybody else that is Christian in the workplace, I'm going to probably flock to those people.
Right.
You know, like that's just the natural tendency for me, because I want to surround myself around people that believe in the same thing that I believe in, or have the same morals that I have and the same values. Because,
well, and that's another big part of this, right? I mean, you know, like I said, we're all public servants here, and you would hope that a lot of the people that you meet that are doing this for the right reasons, that, you know, we're called to this line of service. But the reality is not everyone is. And I'm sure you and I, not, you know, necessarily here at Lafourche at our sheriff's office, but just, you know, with all the law enforcement agencies that we've interacted with over the years, I'm sure you run across people who might not be doing it for the right reasons. Or, I mean, we read about law enforcement officers, you know, every so often in the news that have made a horrible decision. But when it comes down to it, it's not black and white, right? Like, there's a lot of gray area. And so as a Christian, you know, that was another thing that I learned through this process, was who you surround yourself with makes a big difference. And I know that's something that we, you know, can find many scripture passages to talk about, but surrounding yourself with the right people is key. And it's one thing, like, you have to work with some people, you have to, but when it comes to spending your spare time with people, when it comes to having your families get together, that's a choice, a conscious choice you have to make. And it can be difficult because you don't know everybody's intentions or everybody's background or where they're headed. but you can see it through their actions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So, you know, and I want to, a couple of people that have done that for me. Major Renee Brinkley,
yes.
Here at the yes. Sheriff's Office, has been a great individual and provided me a lot of inspiration and some spiritual guidance. David Melanson is another one that he works for the District Attorney's Office now, but back we met initially when he worked for Thibodaux Police. We were both public information officers, and you know, all these years we have met at least periodically, you know, for lunch many, many times. And more times than not, our conversations go there. And in fact, pretty much every time. And he's been a good person to lead me spiritually as well. And, you know, again, it's about who do you choose to spend that time with? Who are you making that conscious decision to spend your time with and surround yourself with? Now, that being said, in order to, you know, if you're going to change someone or you're going to try to lead somebody to Christ, you have to spend time with those people too.
Yes, yes.
But in a different way. And that's been the key for me, is figuring out, you know, when I have lunch with David, I can enjoy his company and we can talk freely about this stuff. But when I spend time with other individuals, may have to approach the subject a little bit differently, or approach the conversation a little bit differently.
Right, right. So look, my next question is not really a question that can be answered. It can be, but it's more like a rhetorical question. You know, and the question is, what happens to my Christian faith when I go to work? And I'll say this, what happens to your Christian faith when you go to work? What happens to your Christian faith when you're at home or when you're at church? You express what you believe, you express what you do. So as Christians, you know, one of the things that I prided myself in is when a new deputy was having trouble on the road and they confided in me on how to become better, because I made so many mistakes, if you will, as a patrol deputy, I was able to say, look, this is what I did. All right, what are you struggling with? Okay, let's focus on that. Let's hone in on that particular thing. And if something else arises, we'll go in and work on that. And through that, I was able to bring up the conversation about faith and about, you know, attending church and what have you. And,
right.
You know, but our actions, that is what happens when we're at work. You know, yes, people have seen me upset. People have seen me mad. But for the most part, you can talk to anybody right now in the sheriff's office that knows me. They're going to say, oh, he's a decent dude. You know, he means well. He's very compassionate. He cares. Those are the things you're going to hear about me, you know, post my employment at the sheriff's office. But that doesn't change when I go into new employment. That doesn't change
right.
when I walk into the grocery store. That doesn't change when I whatever. The only thing that is out of character is when I get mad, because I don't like getting mad.
And look, I think this is the same thing. You know, if you're a person that you're sitting there listening to this and you say, well, I believe in God and I go to church, but that's where it, and I try to be a good person and that's where it ends, then you probably have to ask yourself that question. What happens to my Christianity? What happens to my faith when I go to work, when I walk in a store? But for you and I, because we're on that same wavelength, I know what happens is it doesn't change. Anyone who talks to me, you know, we spent time with some friends from church this weekend, spent some time, you know, I spend time with people at the office here and there talking. I would venture to say that you're not going to get a different, when you ask the, you know, people at the office versus people at church, you're not going to get a different response as to who I am. At least I would hope that would be the case. You're going to get the same response when people ask, you know, who I am, what am I like? And that's because it's not a switch that you flip on and off. It's always with you, and you're always bringing that message with you wherever you go and whoever you meet and whoever you talk to.
Right. And look, it's funny you say that about the whole switch deal. I could comfortably say I know Brennan Mathern because of your interactions outside of work and so forth and so on. I can comfortably say I know Christine Russell. All right. I can comfortably say I know my pastor, Bill Crawford, because he's the same person here, there, and everywhere else.
Right.
But if you stop and think, that's the image God put upon us when he created us, because he's never changing. Now, we're human. We're sinners. We're fickle. We'll change at the
Oh, yeah.
North wind.
Yeah. Let's not make any mistake. I'm only the man I am today after, like you said, many mistakes. And a lot of soul searching and learning over the years, and really meeting my wife Jill has been the life changing moment for me. Our journey together, our walk together, has been completely life changing. I always tell her that she made me a better man, and there's no question. I've definitely learned and picked up stuff along the way from many outlets. But meeting her has been life changing, and ultimately this walk that we're now on together, raising this family in the 21st century. And look, we've had many conversations about how scary that is. But like you said, it's not something that I wasn't born. I didn't start life this way. Definitely made a lot of mistakes along the way. But thankfully, none that have ruined me so far as to not, be able to have this great life that we now have, and this great life and love in Jesus that we've come to, and that our kids are loving and really enjoying and really fulfilling. But like you said, it's not, people could be listening. And I think about that all the time. And we'll talk about it later, but I have a podcast as well. And as we talk, you think about how people might be reacting to this, because not everyone is coming from the same background as you. And are people listening to this thinking, oh yeah, that's great, but you've always had that upbringing. But yeah, but I made mistakes like everyone else. And I strayed like anyone else could. And so it's only through the work and putting in the time and putting in the study that I was able to get to this point.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I'm going to go ahead and ask the last question of this episode, if you don't mind, sir.
Sure.
What is the importance of Christian ethics in a work-related environment?
I kind of like what we've been talking about. I think, first of all, from a law enforcement standpoint, as we know, the law in general is really based on God's commandments to us. So having that Christian background helps you understand the difference between right and wrong. And so working in law enforcement, while there obviously is a lot of gray area in the law itself, there isn't a lot of gray area when it comes to what's morally right and wrong. And so more times than not, we tend to overthink things from a legal standpoint. But when it comes to an ethical standpoint and a Christian standpoint, things are pretty black and white, maybe more so than we'd want to admit. I think it goes a lot along with a lot of things. In a work-related environment in general, not necessarily in law enforcement, but in any work-related environment, for example, you're going to have people that have bad days, whether it's stuff that happens at work or things that happen in general, and they're going to be mad. And you may even encounter a supervisor who is upset, or someone that's not a supervisor and they're upset, and you get yelled at. And your response to that, I think, is key as a Christian. And look, I used to come from a place where I might get just as mad and yell as well. But through a lot of work and self-reflection, I've realized that there's nothing that happens in a work environment that I need to yell at anyone for. There's nothing that happens in a work environment that I would feel that I need to be yelled at. No matter how bad the mistake, it's work. At the end of the day, it's work. And if you had the right intentions and you were doing your job in good faith, certainly there's no reason to yell. You might get angry inside, but when your response to other people, I just firmly believe that you don't have to yell at anyone. You can be angry without outwardly showing it. Yeah. And that's taken time. But that's, I guess, a good example of even when I encounter that in work, that I encounter that anger, I do my best to try to calm the situation, try to use my words. And you could tell I like to talk a lot. Sometimes that's what it takes, is that be that calming voice, as much as you're that positive influence and everything, be that calming voice in a situation. But I think in law enforcement, look, I mean, we're collecting taxes right now. There is literally thousands of dollars flowing through our office. You know, to be a person where the thought doesn't even enter your mind, well, what if this $100 goes missing? Or to have that kind of clarity on things it seems obvious, right, to most people. Well, you know, you don't steal. But how many people that have we seen, even in law enforcement, but in any job place, you become corrupted. The devil works in mysterious ways as much as God does, but he'll come at you at your highest point. He'll come at you at your lowest point, and he will try to tempt you. And to be able to ignore those temptations, to be able that they're not even a thought in your mind. That's to me what it means. That's the importance of having those Christian ethics in a work environment. To trust the people around you, to trust the people around you, especially the fellow Christians around you, and to understand everything that you're dealing with and what it all means. Like we started this conversation, what is the end goal here? Who are you working for? Who are you serving? And if you can think along those lines, really everything you do will follow suit from there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I have a question for the listeners that I want y'all to think about. You know, work is something that we do every day. It's part of our lives. It's part of our family culture. And it's just something that we have to do in order to survive in this, I don't even know what to call this world, in this sinful world. We'll just say we'll leave it at that, you know. But work and turmoil, that word is those two words are mentioned at least 300 plus times in the Bible. And it's seriously indicating that God considers our work to be very important. And it's a very important aspect of our lives. You know, we see in scripture how important our work in him, you know, our work, his work in us is, you know, so God works. He is constantly working. So he expects his creation to also work. And one of my favorite scriptures is Corinthians 10:31. And that one says, I'm going to try to do it from memory. It says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That's 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do it for the glory of God. I like to make this joke, and it's pretty graphic, but even when you're on the king's palace, if you will, reading a magazine, do it for the glory of God. And that's, I'm probably going to get some flack for that one, but it's bringing the point together. You know, our work is to glorify God. Our, you know, meeting and talking to other people is to glorify God. Us loving on each other is to glorify God. You know, us calling things out that are wrong and speaking out against wrongdoing to other people, that glorifies God. So everything we do glorifies God, especially in the workplace. So my question to the listeners, and I want y'all to think about this over the week, is have you been in an uncomfortable workplace situation that made you question your faith? Meaning, have you been in a situation either that you caused or you yelled at someone or you did something unethical, what have you? Has that caused you to question your faith? I want y'all to think about that for the next week. And then kind of, you know, I don't need to know what it is, but if it's...
Sorry, could you say that again?
Sorry, my watch is going off. If it's bad, then you go ahead and just repent, you pray about it and you move on and you seek God's wisdom moving forward. All right. That's what I'm saying. You know, so yeah, we talked about maintaining our Christian faith in the workplace. And, you know, we talked about our different perspectives, you know, myself and Brennan, you know, how we came up in this life, if you will, and what we're trying to do to continue in that. So I want to thank the listeners for tuning into this 40-minute conversation with myself and Captain Mathern about our Christian work ethics, if you will, in the workplace. Now, Brennan, you have a podcast.
Yes, but I would just say that I host a podcast. I wouldn't call it mine. I have been, since last year, I have been working with Bless Your Heart Nonprofit. And the listeners may recognize that name. They really came into probably most mm-hmm. prominently through after Hurricane Ida hit our area. They really stepped up, and they are 100% volunteers. They have a board. They're based in La Rose. They are 100% volunteers, but they had raised over $1 million for relief for hurricanes. And, you know, this morning listening to some people come in the office, they were talking about how, you know, it was really the local people that helped most, especially yep. the local organizations yep. that helped most after the storm. And they're right there at the cusp of it. Well, before any of that happened, they just got started a couple of years ago. And Jurey Jean Bon Giro, who is the founder, one of the founders of Bless Your Heart, her brother Ross Jean Bon had this idea of starting a podcast as a way of promoting the nonprofit. And they reached out to me. And look, I'll admit this freely. I initially said no. I initially felt like I had a lot going on. I had just gotten promoted. I had this new position, and I had a ton going on in my life at the time. And it was my wife, Jill, who said, you know, excuses. You always talk about how it's not about money. Like we're able to tithe, but that's the easy part, right? It's easy to write a check. It's much harder to give up your time to something. And because of Bless Your Heart, and because we all share the same values, those same Christian values, it was easy. And it's awesome. While certainly we don't take as deep a dive into the subject as you do on your podcast, Brandon, it's always seemingly a part of a lot of our conversations that we have with guests and their faith and their their walk with the Lord and where it's leading them. So it's great to do, but we enjoy doing the podcast. By the way, it's called the DTB podcast. It means the Down the Bayou podcast. And what we're doing is we just bring in individuals that are just from the Bayou or that still live here on the Bayou that have an interesting story to tell. Some of them are well known, or some of them are proprietors or owners of, you know, well-known establishments, and they're giving the history of a certain place. But some of these people are probably largely unknown other than their immediate friends and family, but they have such an intriguing story to tell. Maybe it's about mental health or about suicide or just about the area in general and the history. So we enjoy bringing those people in and getting their stories. And one example that we had recently in our first season was Mr. Roland Lede, who is the founder of the D&D Drive-In in La Rose. Many, many years passed. And one of the key things we wanted to do is we wanted to get these people's story in audio form for them to tell their story. And he was 92 years old when he came in, and one of the most interesting characters and guests that we had. And he passed away last week. So if not for our effort, he may have never had his story recorded down for future generations to hear. So it was, that's something we can always look back on our first season and say, look, we were able to have this great moment with this individual, his granddaughter who's taken over the business and her husband, and just to be able to hear about how it all got started and where it's going. But that's what we do. It's the DTB podcast, and you can follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. But again, we don't have a specific goal in mind other than to tell people's story.
I like it. Also, I think Brennan's being a little minimalist here. I've listened to several of the episodes and have enjoyed every last one of them. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but Brennan does have a radio voice, so it was only appropriate to ask him to host the podcast. So he actually had one of my friends on, Michael Sheremy, on the podcast, and that was a very good episode.
Well, and like you, Brandon, when you talk to people, especially about the subjects that we talk with on our show, in many cases, you're either talking about their whole life history and or you're talking about their darkest moments of their lives, and in many cases, the brightest moments following that. So it's almost impossible not to form a bond with mm-hmm. these people. And it's been cool and amazing afterwards to run into these people, or, you know, at different events, or just, you know, at the store, and you gravitate toward them because you know all they've been through. You know, in some cases, as much as their family or friends know, and in some cases more, you know, but prior to the episode airing. So it's been an awesome experience. And look, like I said, it was one that I was, you know, I was kind of like, I don't know if I'll have time to do that. And it's been so rewarding, to be able to share those moments with people.
Yeah. It's a blessing. Now, you guys also have a Twitter page, and y'all have something called, what is it? Down the Bayou Isms or something like that.
Yeah. So like I said, Ross, Jeanbon, who is basically this is his brainchild. We realize that we have a lot of sayings, words, and phrases that we've used all of our lives down the bayou that no one else knows, or very few people know outside of the region. We're coming to learn that some people do use them in various places, but in many cases, they're either directly Cajun French terms, or they're derived from Cajun French terms, or a combination of English and French. And so if you follow the DTB podcast page on Facebook, Twitter, or we're even on TikTok now, you can see some of those DTB isms and kind of learn a second language, if you will, of people that you know. So if you run into people from down the bayou and you give them one of these words, I can almost guarantee you they'll either have heard it or use it themselves on a regular basis.
Yeah, I think that's funny. I like that. I actually look forward to seeing those. So that's all I have. I am going to encourage the listeners to share this podcast, this episode, with your friends. I am going to put a link in the show notes for the DTB podcast. I am also going to put a link to the various social media platforms that they're on. And I want you guys to get involved. I enjoy doing podcasts. I enjoy getting people's story. Just like Brennan said earlier, I like getting that on audio file. And that's a collection for future use for anybody, for example. Like, my niece actually used one of my episodes in her paper. She like did the whole reference and everything, which is pretty cool. But again, Brennan, thank you for coming on. You are will always be a good friend of mine. It doesn't matter if I work at the sheriff's office or not. We are still going to be in contact. And then maybe I could come down to Bayou and be on your podcast, yeah?
There you go. y'all already learned it. Yeah, Brandon, we appreciate it. We appreciate the opportunity to mention the podcast here as well. I appreciate the links. If you are on Twitter, you can follow me at Brennan Mathern. And if you go to my profile, you'll see the links to the podcast, to the sheriff's office, to all of my affiliations. And you can give us all a follow there. We appreciate it. But it has been, this is a subject that, you know, it's been tough to talk about, especially my story. And I sincerely appreciate the opportunity to share it with you.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. Well, you got to get back to work, and I got to get to work. So have a great day, and thank y'all for listening.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.